This is Lisa Horlander, and please don't drink the paint water. The podcast, conversations between artists about our work and other great advice to survive as an artist. Welcome to Don't Drink the Paint Water, the podcast. This is Lisa Horlander. Today, I have Jessica Sanders. She is a friend of mine from college. She's pretty awesome. She is a ceramic artist based in Tyler, Texas. Her work is made up of ceramic pieces that are wired together to create flexible sculptures. She received her associates at Tyler Junior College and her BFA at the University of Texas at Tyler in 2017, her MFA and MA at the University of Texas at Tyler in 2020. She helped create ETX Creatives, which is a nonprofit that helps bring opportunities to East Texas artists, and she's on the leadership team. She's also part of a four-woman ceramic art collective called the ASGs. Some recent shows that are pretty awesome. She had two solo exhibits, one at Tyler Junior College and one at Bossier Parish Community College. Jessica, it's good to have you on the show.
Yeah, it's exciting to be here.
I'm so excited. Okay, so let's get started. One of the things I love to ask my guests is, what are you currently working on and what did you just finish?
Okay, so what am I currently working on? So how my work is, I make different shapes. So let's say right now I'm working with some squares, I'm working with some circles, and I'm working with kind of like a thin rectangle. Mm-hmm. And I make a lot of those shapes, and I just make a lot, and then I fire them in a kiln, and once they're fired, I attach them with wire. That's basically what I'm doing all the time. I'm either making shapes or I'm putting shapes together. I just finished a commission piece. This is for someone. It was kind of a large scale one, and I just got that one finished. It's hanging up on our wall. It looks great.
Awesome.
And I'm just making more.
I love it. You also were part of a show recently at the Foundry here in Tyler, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
This past year. Because I remember seeing that. Yes. I definitely took pictures and then told my students to go see it. So that was an awesome show. One of the things she's not saying is how many pieces she's actually making.
Oh, yeah.
Because these are like an inch or two wide, right?
So the individual little pieces, like the little squares or triangles or whatever they are, just kind of depending. I make some like teeny, teeny, tiny ones and I'll make some that are a little bit larger. But yeah, I make a lot. I'm just constantly working.
Yeah. And then I'll constantly, we'll be hanging out and you're like putting them together. I always thought that was the best part. Studio practice is everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just great for me.
That is. Actually, it's really nice that you're, since they are small, that you can just take it anywhere with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you're working, what's in your glass? Are you a coffee or tea person?
I would say I'm definitely not a coffee person. Coffee gives me anxiety. I actually love coffee. I just can't drink it. So I'm definitely more of a tea person. When I was in grad school, I always had like a whole like ceramic cup. I have a pretty good ceramic cup, a collection.
Nice.
And I would always carry around tea. Nowadays, though, at home, this is kind of boring, but I mostly just drink water.
You know, it's healthy. It's good.
Yeah.
I'm about to say, it's like, I feel like when you're at home, it's a different situation than if you're in a studio. Like, the studio, you've got to plan things out a little bit, maybe have snacks around and have all
right.
I have like six cups usually. They're half empty, but. What is your top trick or tip that you would, if you could go back in time, give yourself or someone who's just starting out?
Right. So I would say it's the main thing that I would tell my younger self is to not be afraid to make bad work.
Mm.
It's okay if your work looks ugly. It's okay if you try this thing and it fails. When I was younger, I was really afraid of failure. I was really afraid that I was going to make something. And like, especially in class, it's like the people around me are going to judge me and think I'm a bad artist. And it's like, now in hindsight, right now I'm teaching now at UT Tyler, I'm adjuncting. I just really find the value in mistakes. We learn so much more from mistakes.
Yeah.
So when you make something that looks bad, it's good because you're going to be able to step back and look at, well, I did this and that's why it looks bad.
Yeah.
I just think failure is important as an artist or just as a person in general.
I totally agree. Especially on hindsight, looking back at some of my failures, I'm actually learning some of those failures still are teaching me details. Like, I'm still learning stuff from them. What is your favorite studio item do you have a favorite?
Yeah, okay, so I would say just on a normal day, mm-hmm. my favorite item in my studio is my chair. I went and I got a nice office chair. I mean, it isn't like an expensive office chair, but, you know, I tried several. I found one that felt comfy. It has a nice, like the backing is mesh, and in the summer it, like, it breathes. It's like a good height, and it has armrests. It's just, like, really comfortable. I feel like it's really important to, like, if you're going to be somewhere for a long time, like, if you're going to be standing, you need to have my shoes.
Yes.
If you're going to be sitting, you need to buy something that isn't going to hurt your body.
Like, yeah.
It's just important. And when I was an undergrad, I would sit on a stool, and it was really uncomfortable,
terrible.
And yeah, it's like I'd be in pain a lot, and I didn't know why, and I realized, oh, it's because I'm sitting on this terrible stool.
Or you're standing on concrete for 6 hours.
Right, you're standing on concrete for hours and hours in terrible shoes. Yeah,
terrible
like,
shoes.
It's important to find things that are, like, going to allow you to be in that place for a long time. But I would say, right now, my favorite item in my studio is my little my Dyson heater.
Oh, now that's smart.
I'm working in my garage, and it's been like in the 40s. It's been really uncomfortable.
It's
been nice having that little heater that I can like push up next to and try and stay warm.
Yeah. I feel like as a Texan, we're complaining about it being 40. Like it's the worst thing ever, but like our bodies are not made for this.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, it's just kind of like and you're in a space that doesn't have central air, central heating. It's just not fun in the winter, and it's not fun in the summer. It's just what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. It's in between. You can, like, really plow through and get stuff done.
Yeah.
If you were to recommend an item for someone, I mean, to be honest, everything you just said, shoes, chair, heater.
Yeah, shoes,
chair,
yeah.
Recommend those things.
Yeah.
Is there another practical item that you would recommend to someone just starting out?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I think those are really good things, depending on what kind of artist you are. I think it's important to find materials that are at least a step up, you
Ooh.
Know? Like, I mean, if you can't afford top of the notch stuff, you just need to make sure that you aren't buying cheap stuff.
Yes.
No, I see a lot of videos on like Instagram or TikTok where people are taking, like they're showing how you don't have to have really great materials to make it work, and they're like they're using crappy crayons or something, and they make this cool piece of work. And I think, well, yeah, that's cool, but if that person who is extremely talented had good materials, just think of what they could do.
Yes, and it makes such a difference.
It really does.
In teaching my students, I've got medium grade paint, because I refuse to buy the cheap paint, the student mm-hmm. grade one. And I tell the kids all the time, I'm like, please don't waste it. I bought the good paint for you, so you can experience what it's like to make good art much easier. And I'm like, I have some old paint, and they'll use it, and they're like, Miss Harlander, why is this so transparent? I'm like, it's the cheap paint. That's what it does. It's really hard to use.
Exactly.
You're going to have to add white. The color's going to be terrible. They're like, this is terrible. I'm like, it's terrible paint.
Yeah.
Use the good stuff. And they're like, whoa, this actually mixed the right color. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what it does. Here's some Prismacolor pencils. Same game.
Yeah. Or like if you're into like linoleum carving with printmaking, if you don't start out with sharp tools, not going to be able to do it. It is so hard to cut with bad knives. It's terrible.
It's terrible. That's a good example, too. That is a night and day where when you finally cough the money up for some nice tools, it's like, whoa, where have I been all this time?
Yeah.
It's like, this is magic. Someone tell me to do this sooner. Yeah. Go buy nice supplies, you guys. Just go buy yourself something nice. It doesn't... And
it's important.
There's some medium grade tools that are amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally agree. Mm-hmm. Okay, so questions from the listeners. I've got two for you, because one of them I think you've already answered, and I think it's going to be redundant. And this other one is, I don't know how far this conversation is going to go. So first question, what does a typical studio day look like for you?
A typical studio day? I don't have a typical studio day.
That's what I was like, you've already answered this.
Right, like I would love to be the type of person that has like a schedule and I stick to it. I'm just not that person. It's like I'll have days where I'll wake up at 7 and I'll be in the studio and I'll work for 6 hours, or I'll have days where I'm in the studio at noon and I work for an hour, and then and then on top of that, it's like I'm constantly connecting my work. So I'm, you know, sitting on the couch in the evening, putting stuff together. And then there's just like all the other stuff you have to do.
Yes.
Like like applying to things and
updating
contacting and yeah. Actually, I'm teaching right now. I'm just teaching the one class, which is nice. And it's just like teaching one class is so much work.
Yeah.
I guess I technically have a schedule there because I have to be in class at a certain time. But for the most part, I'm just kind of all over the place.
But yeah. That's why I was like, this question maybe needs to go to another. Because right. You've already answered it. It's like, what's your studio practice? Well, it's all the time.
All the time.
It's your constant. It's always. Oh, okay, so this next question. What do you think of NFTs?
NFTs. I don't know what that is.
The NFTs, so non-fungible token. It's owning a digital version of something.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, I'm about to say, have you not heard of them yet, Jessica?
No.
Oh, man. Lucky you. They're the thing, the controversial topic of the art world right now. So an NFT is basically if you were to have a video, let's say you took a video that is your artwork and you mm-hmm. go through the process of making it into an NFT. They have websites that you could go to and submit it, and then it's up for sale. And if someone buys it, that is non-fungible token. Thank you, Ben. My producer has pulled up the actual definition of what the acronym stands for. I appreciate that. So yeah, it's an item that you can buy online and the person owns the legal rights to that item, but obviously it's a digital item, so they could make multiples of it. But if they sell it, this is the part that I think is really cool. If they sell it, the creator gets it, like with music, they get a percentage,
right?
So that's pretty cool. So there's a way of every time it's sold, the artist or the creator gets a portion of money. They're selling for lots of money, though, like insane amounts of money. So I'm not sure exactly what I feel about it personally, because as an artist that's creating physical items,
yeah,
and it's hard enough to sell that. And then something else is like a novelty that is a collectible thing. I don't know what to even call that type of item, but it's definitely a novelty that people are collecting. And I kind of feel like it's taking away from come buy our art, the physical items.
I don't know. I feel like especially if it's going up for a lot of money, that means it's like collectors collecting it.
Exactly.
I don't know. That's just like, to me, that sounds like, I don't know, it just kind of sounds like the next level of innovation.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. I feel like nowadays it's so hard to be original and almost interesting. So it's just kind of a, I don't know, it just sounds like a new thing. Yeah. I don't know.
You have to check it out.
Something else to think about. Yeah, I didn't even know about it.
Go search. You'll have a long Googling experience.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You have to look up, who made it? Dang it. There was one that sold like $600 million or something insane. It was either 60 or 600. It was a lot of money. And I think they got everyone's attention. Like, oh, this is a thing. They're making money. Okay. The collectors are like, let's do this. All the artists are like, let's make NFTs. I'm like, since I'm not as much of a digital artist, I don't feel like my work would ever qualify for that. But I can't. Knock on wood, maybe someday my work would be in the video world or something. That'd be fun to do, but that's a long time.
I mean, we live in a capitalist society, and it can be hard as an artist to survive, and so like that kind of makes sense to me. Like you're finding new fads and trends and things that can help you, you know, survive as an artist. Why not?
I mean, have multiple ways of getting around that. Yeah, smart. That's actually probably more, it's clever. It's a good idea.
It's clever, yeah.
Okay, so the last thing I usually talk about is some art news. What have you seen lately that knocks your socks off? And I'll tell you something I've seen.
Cool, yeah. So this has been such an interesting time for me. Before the pandemic, I went to museums all the time. Like, I was constantly, it was super important in my practice. And I just love to travel. But since the pandemic, I haven't really been to a museum. I think I went to the Tyler Museum of Art once, but I can't even remember what I saw. So,
so
honestly, the majority of what I'm seeing is like online or, you know, in books.
Yeah.
But I would say recently in class, in my class, we've been doing a discussion over the artist June Ganico.
Yes.
He does ceramics. He makes these kind of, I don't know, large scale, kind of rounded columns. That's not really a great word for it. He calls them like dungos or something. June Ganico, I'll spell his name out. So if anyone is interested, it's J-U-N, then K-A-N-E-K-O. But we were talking about his work and we were watching a video of this woman who has worked with him for a long time. And she's just kind of explaining different phases that he's had. And he had a glass phase that lasted for about a decade. And I had no knowledge of his glass work, but it's not blown glass. It's like basically stacked glass that he puts in a kiln and it, you know, fuses together. Cool. But they're phenomenal. Like, I've never seen glass work like this before. I didn't know that he was making it, but they're big. Some are like extremely thin and tall.
Are they as big as his ceramic pieces?
No, it's just glass. It's just glass.
Okay.
Like clear glass and like colored clear glass.
Ooh.
It's insane. Like he makes these kind of sheets and then he'll like stack those sheets and make thicker glass, or he'll stand them up and attach them. Like he has these pieces where you can like walk inside of them.
What?
It's really cool.
Yeah, I'm gonna check that out.
Yeah, so cool.
I'm about to say, I have to go check that out right now. Like, as I pull up my phone, I'm like, hello, Instagram. Yeah. We're going to look this up. That's so much fun. I love that. That's something that I would never expect someone to do, and that doesn't happen very often anymore.
No.
That's so much fun. Okay, so someone I've seen recently, well, I haven't seen her work in person. I would love to see her work in person, but I have one piece that I've seen in person because I just bought it.
Oh, wow, cool.
I was like, I must own something. I don't care if it's small. I'm going to reach out to her and buy something. But Ashley Eliza, she is a painter. She explores nature. She's interested in nonverbal communication, but her work is really whimsical, maybe a little bit surrealist. She'll do things like, she just posted today, it was these cactus. So it was like 6 or 8 pictures of the same cactus, but it looks like the lighting has changed. So it's going from like a gray to a pink, and it's just subtle.
Oh, nice.
But then she'll have things like a painting of a cloud. I bought one of her clouds that's cut out. So it's watercolor paper that she did an oil pan hang on. Then she cut it out. You can tell why I like that, because I love cut out art. But then she'll put them in nature. So like, she has these rocks and they're amazing, and she'll have this cutout rock or a cloud, and she'll go out, take a hike, and put it in a spot like
that's
sitting on a rock, or a rock that's she's holding up like it's a cloud. And it's just so much fun to see her Instagram little compilations. Then she'll do paintings like that, and then she, even when she has exhibits, she'll have like a painting, and then there's like a shelf, and on the shelf is a rock, and so there's like a, maybe it's a cloud, and the objects are similar. So she's really interested in how those objects communicate and like the different ways of things. And then she has some things that are, they look like possible things in nature that don't actually exist. So maybe lots of wings, and it's like a winged thing, or maybe it's like a cloud that has fur. Just really fun, whimsical.
Yeah.
I just love her work. I'm actually going to reach out to see if I can get her on my show, because that'd be amazing. She
just
started a residency at Massmoca. So I'm like,
Oh my gosh.
I just want to
pick
her brain.
That's so cool. The dream, right?
I know. There's some... I was looking at what they've had recently. They've had some really cool stuff go through that program.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my socks are going to be forever knocked off, and I've got a little piece of it too.
That is so cool.
I love it. I haven't hung it up. I haven't decided where to put it. It's like safe in a little box in my studio. This little paper cloud. Love it so much. Well, I'm glad to have you today. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so much fun.
I'm going to do a series talking about trying to get into shows and experiences in that. So I'll have to have you back for that.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I love that.
You've got experience on both ends, putting the shows together and in trying to get into them.
Yes.
So that'd be really great. Well, Jess, this was great. Thank you for being on.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks for listening in. Thank you, podcasting wizards at TogiNet. If you want to start a podcast and sound amazing, I highly recommend you check them out. Don't forget, like this episode, it supports me and helps me make more podcasts. Also, check out the podcast's Instagram at Don't Drink Paint Water Podcast. Yes, one word. To see pictures of what I've talked about and to leave your questions for my future guests. See you on the next episode of Don't Drink the Paint Water, the podcast.